delicious. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It is Friday, end of the week. Heavy podcast week. We did like seven of them. But nice to see you as always. As I drink my delicious beverage, we have a show for you today. We've got lots of stuff to get to. We've got some road rage to get to. We've got some Tucker Carlson to get to. We got some Trumpy shit to get to. We got some other things to get to, including some drinking things. Joining me again, please welcome back to the program, man who needs no introduction, but he does need an intervention, Mr. Lachlan Cross, ladies and gentlemen. Lachlan Cross.
Banded Peak, I am a fan.
What do you got to tell people what you're doing? Because what people don't know is that there's an audio version of this podcast.
Which oh, that's right.
Your podcast, and there's a video version, right? We're video, yeah. Too. Cryo Media on YouTube. Dean Blundell Show on YouTube. Yeah, well, it's Friday. And I just want to remind everybody, Lachlan is the drinker of the group. I am sober. Our guest today as well is sober. Soberish. I'm soberish. Let's get into that.
You're California sober. Yeah. I love the guys that smoke weed. They're on a bong all day. They're like, I haven't had a drink in 5 years.
Yeah, I'm not on the bong all day. That's the difference. So you can go ahead and do what, misinformation outlets do and paint me as an alcoholic or a drug addict because I've had to smoke one joint.
Listen, if you're going to do one a lot, yeah. Which I do this one a lot, right? And you do the other one. I think you have curtailed,
yeah.
Right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, once in a while at night. Yep.
Okay. Now, if cannabis. You're gonna do more, if you're gonna do one every day or a lot, the one you're doing makes way more sense. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. Now, I have cautioned people over the years because I'm now 54. I turned 54 on Wednesday.
Congratulations.
Okay? And happy birthday. I grew up with hippies. So I grew up with chronics. I grew up with guys that got up in the morning. Rolled, smoked, and got back
on with their day. Yeah.
And did that all day. And those guys, they turn. Something happens. A switch goes off. And it's about 15, 20 years in. And then they're the ones that are canceling their credit cards because they don't want the government to track them. Like, they go deep, right?
They start making their own like sauces, and then that morphs into making their own clothes. Like beehives. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, they got a beehive in the back. The government's the government's tracking them. Uh-huh. They have landlines. They don't have cell phones. Uh-huh. But I don't know what it is, but I've just noticed that sort of like long term chronic. And I'm talking, you got to go hard. You can't.
It's like a 20, 30 year chronic thing. It's the guy that has the beard and he's got all the pock marks on his face. And he's like, I feel great. I look great. I feel great. And you're like, dude, don't you want more in life? And he's like, no, I just need a bag of weed and like a 2-bedroom apartment. That's all I need. And I respect those guys though. Right. I do. Yeah. I respect those guys. You don't often see like potheads at the side of the road. You know, smoking out of a paper bag. You know what I mean? You don't.
Well,
you see drinkers doing that, to my point. And you sent me a text today that I thought was very interesting before the podcast. And I want to get to that real quick. And I quote, on my way home late, I just have to stop and grab beer. Late for a podcast, a sponsored podcast. I'm late. I don't care, guy. I don't care that I'm late. I don't have any beer. I got to stop and get some. I can't go after the podcast. I need to go now because I don't feel like going out later. So hang in there. Now, that would be what some people call a red flag. Joining us to talk about that, today's guest from the Dude Did Will podcast.
We're not doing this. No.
Yeah, we are.
No, we're not doing that. We're not doing an intervention on Locke.
Brenton Donnelly.
No intervention. Hey, guys. Intervention. What's going on, Locke? I haven't seen you in a while, buddy. How you been?
He looks swollen, good. Eh? Looks a little drunk. Looks a little hammered. Maybe he's not doing well.
It was yoga. Lachlan. I just got home from yoga, okay? Yeah. On my way home from yoga.
Yeah.
I stopped and got pho, and I grabbed some beer.
Stop calling it pho. It's pho. No, it's
And pho. So I haven't even had a chance to drink more than one. I'll crush one here soon.
Oh, by the way. We're recording this at 4:53 in the afternoon. Sorry, 4:17 in the afternoon. It's 2:17 in the afternoon for Lachlan. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to point out that he hasn't had a chance to have a beer yet, Brent. Now he's got one. Yeah.
Generally, I get started around this time every day anyway.
The evening ease in.
Oh, I used to love the evening he's in, right? But I would start the evening he's in at like 1. That's why I can't drink. Evening he's in starts at like noon. What about 10:30? Is there a bar that's open? Brent does a podcast called Dude Did Will. He's also a touring manager, so he does concerts, and he understands how concerts work. So we're going to tag him in to talk about the incredible show Tucker Carlson put on in your beautiful province of Alberta coming up in just a couple minutes. But I want to continue on with this drinking thing because this is Lachlan's intervention.
Oh, I love these. I love it. I love it when you bring me in on a Friday and we have a talk about
Crush pints.
Soberness.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah.
No, it's not about your intervention, dude. But Brent did a great podcast. So he's one of my sober guys. He's like, he and I quit drinking roughly around the same time. What are you, 5 years now, Brent?
5 years, yeah.
5 years in. He's got a big job. He manages tours. He's all over the place. It's tough for a guy like him to not drink. It's tough for anybody not to drink if they not like drinking. But now he's starting to talk about it. And he did this incredible podcast a while ago where he talked about his sober journey on his own. And did you ever think you'd be here? You ever think you'd make it 5 years when you started? Like, it's a lot of people, you know, when you hear people are like, I've been sober 10 years. You're like, are you insane, dude? Do you ever think you'd be here?
Well, you, when you started, it started, you started as day one, and then it's 30, and then it's 90, and we kind of touched on it before. I'm a proponent of 100 days.
Yeah,
so it's like sort of like you get your emotions, you go up and down through that process, and then after 100 days you can decide where you want to keep going. Then I was like a year, and I'm like, well, that's a new zero number. And then you just start working your way towards it and find other things to do, you know, as you're getting through the process. Now, year five was like a milestone-y one for me, which is why I did the show, because it was a bit of a minor stress thing where I was like, can I have a drink again, or can I have a, you know, can I do I have the tools and I'm good and I can get back to it and do the Friday the evening ease in lock. And I was like, can I you know, balance it and bring it in. Because 5 years to me was like such a long way away when I started at day one. But now that I'm here, it's like kind of the new zero. But now 10 years seems so far away. So it was just this kind of like battle I was having mentally where I was like, do I got this? It just was a 5-year reflection of, do I have this? And I, you know.
Guess you do. I guess you do. You're still on it. You haven't had a drop 5 years? That's it? Not one iota of alcohol. Nothing.
I mean, there was I was given a non-alc. I ordered a non-alc beer in Oslo in the summertime, and the bartender brought me the real version.
Did you drink it?
I got about a quarter of the way in,
and you're I feel great.
Oh yeah, and then the guy comes comes running over. Well, I was kind of doing like, you know, like you kind of do like, my eyes are blinking bigger now, and I was feeling a little bit weird, and I was like, okay, whatever. And then
you didn't turn into like Jekyll and Hyde, did you?
No, the bartender ran over. Bartender ran over. He's like, "Who is the non-alc beer for?" And I'm like, "Me." And he's like, "Sorry." So I was like, "What do I do? Do I keep going? I mean, I'm already in." So I was like, "No," but it actually messed me up for like a half a day because I was like, "Fuck! Did I just burn all my days and everything?" No, not like drunk wise luck.
I thought the streak was over.
I thought the streak was over. It's like, oh my god, I put up. I understand.
Plus, it took me a moment
to get there, though. You know,
Brent, something they don't tell you.
Did you see that empathy? He's like, "Ah, it's your fault. Fuck you."
Yeah. No, that's not what I was going to say. I was going to tell you what no one knows. Listen, there's no such thing as non-alcoholic beer.
Right.
There's alcohol in all of it.
Absolutely.
They just don't tell you. It's just it's an optical illusion.
But you have to drink like 4,000 of them because it's only 5%.
To that point, though,
literally drink 400 beers to get a buzz, and I just can't pee that much.
To that point, Locke, though, it was funny because I reached out to a guest that I had on my show before, Claire, who wrote the Sober Diaries book, and I was like, "This just happened to me," and she said to me, "She goes to your point, Locke, but she said to me, people have no idea." What's like alcohol's in the orange juice. There's alcohol in so many different products that people that don't know. So, you know, she just kind of backed up what you said. She's like, it's not your fault, but it kind of messed me up for a couple of days.
Mouthwash, rubbing alcohol, all
NyQuil, every medication that you take when you have a cold,
like bad
you
coffee, never get probably
a cold if you're an alcoholic, because everything has alcohol in it. I remember when I quit drinking after the first year. And I had this terrible cold to the point where I'm like, I wasn't sleeping, wasn't smoking cannabis, wasn't doing anything proactive for sleep, like nothing. So I'm like, fuck this noise. I'm going to go get some NyQuil. And I, you know me, right? Locke, I'm like you. I'm like, dude, I'm like at the very center of my heart. I'm like, let's overdo it and see what happens. So I go get some NyQuil. I drink half the bottle and I am hammered. Like I'm hammered and I'm falling asleep. And I'm like, I look on this thing and I'm like, oh, there's a ton of alcohol in here. And I literally had like the next morning, I felt this incredible shame. But truth be told, it's got nothing to do with the streak, does it? It's got to do with how do you feel? Like, or have you dealt with your shit? Have you gone through your stuff? Because, you know, the time you get away from whatever it is that you use too much to be able to get away from life. And I'd love your thoughts on this. Not yours, Locke, because we know how you deal with it.
I'm going to weigh in.
Yeah, I'm sure.
By the way, this is riveting.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope this is an ongoing discussion.
Drink your beer and relax. No, it's just a check-in, dude, because we're going to get to whether or not you put vodka in the water in Alberta in just a second. But that's what a lot of people, you know, in your situation, my situation, where you've got a few years of sobriety, you know, when you get into that point where you accidentally have a drink or you're thinking of having a drink, man, it's amazing what that does to your brain, isn't it? It's like all it is liquid. You didn't have an intention. And all now you're panicking going, am I back in the soup again? Does that mean I'm fucked? Like, yeah, so many
or you're like, through that. Oh, wow. I wonder if the whiskey tastes as good as this beer did.
Yeah. I used to love Jameson. Maybe I can accidentally have some of that.
Oh, that's right. I'm going to call up my pals over there and be like, I'll be over in a day. Yeah. It kind of messes you up, you know, on that side. But Locke, it was funny because Dean and I were talking about this a while ago about New Year's resolutions. That's where this kind of came from, where it was like, this is usually the week or the end of last week where people have given up on their New Year's resolutions, which includes going to the gym and drinking and all that. And that's usually the time that you got to power through. So that's really where the core of it came, was like that 5-year thing that happened to me, like where I crossed over 5 years at New Year's. And then how many people started on New Year's Day to maybe not drink or feel better mentally or do the whole thing and have stopped now at January 26th. So they stopped because it's too hard. And I just said to Dean, I'm like, I think people need to know that it is possible. So
you can
power through.
Yeah, it was a great podcast. You do a great job talking about it. Sorry.
All kidding aside, I think anybody that attempts to try to make a change in their life, whatever it is, if they're going to exercise or, you know, get more sleep or quit
masturbating in public.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. And all those things are very difficult. And I honestly, man, I'm on your side. If you're trying to make your life better, right? I think what happens in society today, and this is what I caution when people are talking about it, and all kidding aside, both you two are the furthest thing from annoying sober people. I will tease Dean about it occasionally, but you guys aren't that high and mighty. That's what's wrong with you. You need to quit because I quit. That attitude, I'm telling you right now, that is counterintuitive to helping anybody out. I think the way you guys have handled it, and I've overheard you guys have discussions with other people that are struggling, it's not healthy, because everybody has to get to a point where they make their decision on their own. I remember when I was trying to quit smoking for 10 years, my wife, I think about year two or three of me failing constantly, and I'm on the way to the store to buy Colts, the wine tip Colts, because that was one of the strategies to quit smoking.
So delicious.
And I remember she caught me with them smoking in the backyard behind the garage or something.
It's always really shitty when your wife catches you and you're trying to quit doing something and you're hiding like a 3-year-old, and then she sees you.
Up to that point,
I'm a fucking grown ass man. Why am I sweating? Why am I so scared right now?
Up until that point, though, Dean, I was just telling her that I was shitting behind the shed, right?
That's one does. Yeah.
So anyway, she comes around, she catches me, and I'm like, she kind of gives me the look. And I said to her, I said, you know what? I got to be honest with you. If this continues, I'm going to smoke till I die. You got to let me.
I'm
going
to show you.
You got to let me do it on my own.
Yeah.
And she went, and I could see, my wife's a smart woman. I could see something clicked, and she realized that she had to stop. And then when she stopped, it only took me another 5 years, 6 years to quit.
Perfect.
But dude, you put a warning shot across the bow. That's why you've been married for 30 years. It's why I'm divorced. I never did that.
Lachlan, to your point though, like I'm not part of any of those groups either though. Cause I don't want to hear about it every day too. This is my personal thing. And if people reach out and they go, how did you do it? Especially in my business with concerts and touring and backstage and blah, blah, blah. People are like, it can consume you, which is why I stopped. But it's also like, you know, I don't want to hear about it every single day. So someone comes to me and goes, hey, but I will tell you one thing, Locke, to that point though, is like in that, I try to keep those episodes relatively to a minimum. But I can say that I have been contacted by a substantial amount of people that are like, I just didn't.
People need help.
I haven't told anybody yet.
When you're at a point and you need you need help and you're reaching out, Dean and I had a conversation the other day about my drinking. And this is
how let's I've be fair. We had a conversation. You talked about it. And I just said, yeah, whatever, man. Drink.
I don't consider this a problem. There's other problems. I'm just using this to mask the other issues. So I'll work on the other problems,
which will help the other thing.
And then I might stop drinking. Yeah.
And then I might have fun continuing drinking.
To each their own, pal.
Yeah, exactly. We can say that with confidence. I know you are not an alcoholic. You just enjoy having your pints. It doesn't present a problem in your life. You're highly successful. You get your shit done.
I am an alcoholic.
In a marriage that works.
If you look up the actual definition of alcoholism, there is a strong possibility that I tick off all the boxes.
Here's a question I have for you, Brent, before we pivot to thousands of alcoholics showing up for a Tucker Carlson show.
Here we go.
Yeah, you're welcome. Do you consider yourself an alcoholic, Brent?
We've talked about that before. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I had a conversation with Jerome a while ago, and we were talking about it. And I'm like, dude, I don't know that I subbed to the whole idea that it's a disease. I don't know that I subbed to the whole idea that you're going to be an alcoholic for the rest of your life if you decide that you have been able to get on top of drinking. I would suggest that would be the opposite. And it's a weird conversation to have with people because you respect the alcoholic, right? You respect the fact that people identify as someone who's flawed. But I think at the same time, it's just weird.
I think it's a disease. I read Matthew Perry's book and he made a quote in there about it can't wait for you to be alone. So it's just, I don't want to get it like too far into it, but I don't think that I think I maybe caught it before it was going to that spot, but I definitely do and have been around. And I can say that I'm like, well, I'm not that person because you're talking about the wake and bake and some of the things that weed or other things that people do. I'm not the wake up, have a vodka, start my day, or it was never that person. It was always after show, post, couple extra drinks. And then it's just like, I gotta stop it because I think it's going to get to a point of a thing. So that was my struggle coming up to 5 years. By definition, I would say no, Dean, but I do believe it is a disease.
So we just got to get on top of your public masturbation problem, and then we're good.
Well, I mean, I do.
By the way,
I do travel a lot. You got to leave it around.
Well, that's why it's hard to catch you.
I will say this: you guys and what you went through, and then your sobriety, and hearing you talk about it. And listen, I don't like to compare, but I remember having a significant, there was a moment in my wife's life when she stopped calling me an alcoholic, when she met somebody that I know that is actually an alcoholic.
Right.
Who gets up in the morning and has the shakes and puts something in his coffee and then plows through all day.
Yeah.
When she met him, we stopped talking about my alcoholism.
Yeah, she was like, you're awesome.
That's not even fair to do that because everyone, it's different levels. But listen, there are addicts out there. And you brought up, we've talked about some of these guys. And I've known some of these guys. I've worked with some of these guys. And listen, there's a difference between what you went through, Brent, and what you went through, Dean, and how you felt. And then seeing some of these guys that literally snorted their mortgage in a month. Like, I mean, I've hung out with some guys that were like hard. Mm-hmm. They went hard in the paint and did so many chemicals that somebody was driving around their house on weekends, taking their cars away from them. Mm-hmm. There's levels. There's absolute levels.
Yeah.
I knew one guy. We weren't very close, but I knew one guy, and we all knew he was a great drinker. And he would quit. He would go for a week, 2 weeks, a month, whatever. And then you'd see him at the bar and you'd be like, "Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Mike?" He was like, good. I'm good. Are you sure you're good?" And then you'd see him like 4 days later.
Not so good. Not stopped.
Yeah.
He had not slept. He had not stopped. He had not been home. And that guy was getting shipped to retreats in the woods in Revelstoke for 6 months.
Yeah, good.
Hopefully you got his shit together. Dude, that might be you next. You know what? Fucking get your shit together. Hey, get your shit together or else we'll be dragging you to Revelstoke. Just letting you know.
I could use a little time in the woods.
What's in the water in Alberta? Tucker Carlson was in town. Did you go? Locke, did you go? Tucker Carlson, noted white supremacist, guy without a job, lobbyist for Hungary, lobbyist for Russia, lobbyist for Putin, gets invited to Alberta. Two nights, actually two shows in one night. Maybe it was two nights. I don't know if it was two nights or one night. I can't tell you.
It was one night in Edmonton and then
one night in Calgary. Right? Yeah. We've got some audio and some video to play for you so you can have a look at it.
What was it called?
Liberate Canada. It's called Liberate Canada. Yeah.
What a tool.
From the United States of America where they have a school shooting every half day, where they've got 400 million guns, where Percocets get handed out like literally in convenience stores. They do not have health care. And he came up here to liberate us, which I thought was very cute. But it caused a major problem because he's also a massive fucking white supremacist. And he's also a piece of shit, isn't it? No, he is, dude. Like, he's gone off. He has gone off. He's a white supremacist. No, he is. Okay. He's gone off on immigrants, people of color. And yet he's probably got a hood in his Honda Accord. And he is a terrible, terrible human being. So, you know, if you remember about a year ago, Tucker Carlson was like, "Fox News, we should invade Canada. What a shithole. What a commie destination. What a dictatorial, tyrannical shithole. Blah, blah, blah. Convoy, blah, blah, blah. Trudeau, blah, blah, blah. Disgusting dump. I love Canada. We should go save it. Why are we spending our money in Ukraine? Let's invade Canada. Why are we spending our money here? Let's invade Canada." Dude has been on the O Canada train for a long time. Had a whole feature about Tucker Carlson, about him, how he was going to help take down Canada on behalf of MAGA and behalf of the movement. If you remember, it was part of his sun tanning thing where he was like, "Hey, why are people sun tanning their balls? That's weird. It's good for you." Remember that whole ball tanning thing? So anyway, after sewering Canada, your premier, Danielle Smith, maybe the dumbest human being in Canada, invites him up. David Parker from Take Back Alberta. He's like, he pays the freight. And he comes and does two shows, one in Calgary that didn't sell out, which they said was a sellout. There's about 4,000 people in a ballroom. It was about 2,000 people. And they had to give out 2,000 tickets. And then a couple of days ago,
did they paper it?
Yeah, absolutely papered it. And then a couple of days ago in Edmonton, I want to bring this up because I don't know if you know Dale in Edmonton, Lachlan, but he bought 3,000 tickets. This is on Instagram. Grabbed this yesterday. Do you know anybody who wants to see Tucker Carlson January 24th, Edmonton, Rogers Place? A donor bought 3,000 Edmonton tickets. And we're about to give them to people who are serious about attending. Dale's assigning name, cell phone, postal code, and email to the free tickets. For every 100 tickets that you assign, you get a VIP ticket. For more information, call Dale at this number. So if you know Dale, or even if you don't, take this number down, 780-878-8787. Give Dale a call. He might have some extra tickets if you didn't go, so you can feel like you did. But he was all time. So they papered the event, and we have proof. Brent runs concerts. We're going to get into the content of it. So Brent does. He's been doing it for a while at the highest level in the world, all around the world. You told him he's in Oslo. I don't know where you are today. Doesn't really matter because you look good. But what did you make of this scene, Brent? Because this was apparently a sellout at Rogers Place in Edmonton. These are people who no one's admitted to going. I can't find anybody who will come on the show to talk about going. Lachlan's been looking for that person for the last, I don't know how long.
Dale.
Oh, Lachlan's talking to Dale.
Hang on. Dale. I can't hear you, Dale. Dale?
Dale with the tickets, with the Tucker Carlson Dale, tickets.
Do you have tickets left for the Tucker thing? Did I miss it? Dale? I want tickets.
As always, the Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by our friends at factcheck.io. Factcheck.io. Do you believe? The good people at FactCheck are a quorum of software professionals, psychological professionals, journalists that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact check anything that you read. It doesn't matter. If it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information, and alternative sources, and there's going to be a weapon button too, where you can turn that information around and put it back out there accurately to combat disinformation. The good people at factcheck.io are right now testing their beta version of their free program. Yes, it will be free for anybody who wants to use it. They want to battle disinformation because it is a problem. Go to factcheck.io today, FAKTCHEK.io, FAKTCHEK.io. The world's most robust fact-checking disinformation software for news, social media, video, print, anything spoken word. These people are on the tip. And they use some of the finest software technology to be able to give you the advantage when it comes to getting agency back in your life, when it comes to information that you read. Go to factcheck.io today for more information. Sign up for the beta test, FAKTCHEK.io. The Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by factcheck.io. Factcheck.io, makers of the world's most comprehensive fact-checking software, that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact check anything that you read. It doesn't matter. If it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information so that you can give yourself agency over information in the age of disinformation. Again, want to beta test their product? They're going to launch it in the next month or two. Go to factcheck.io today. FAKTCHEK.io. Back to the show.
He wasn't responding to me.
That's because it was a couple days.
Couple days ago. Thanks for calling.
So Brent, back to occupancy. The Rogers Place holds what, 20,000 people?
Not quite. It'd be like 19. I don't know what the official is, like 18.
1978 or something like that.
Big venue. Said it was a sellout. Is that a sellout, Brent?
Well, you can tell because the top section is completely curtained off.
Yeah.
Which is a substantial amount of tickets. So sell out based on how they set it up. Well, we know that Dale bought 3,000 tickets, so we know there's some comps out there. Perhaps they decided to sell up top and didn't and moved everybody down. But that, my friends, is not a sellout.
No, but what's happening here? So they've got, this is Edmonton. This is where Lachlan, this is what he missed out on. You can see all those really happy white people with their arms crossed going, yay, yay, Tucker Carlson. And this is Rogers or Rexall. What do they call it? It's not Rexall anymore, right? It's Rogers. It's half. Is this half of the actual arena? Is that what we're looking at? So the lower bowl and floor.
So that would be about 10,000.
I don't think it's quite that. I bet you it's closer to
7,500.
Like, yeah. Okay. Something like that. Cause you've got, you know,
that's how the Doobie Brothers was set up when I went.
Yeah. You've got different concert setups. You've got, you know, half arenas, full arenas, but when it goes up, you know, you go, hey, we think this thing is going to sell out. So we're going to, you know, scale it accordingly. We're going to, you know, the people on the floor are going to pay this much and the people in the lower bowl are going to pay this much and the people upper are going to pay this much. So either they decided that they were going to scale it to just the 7,500. So based on that, looks like they got 7,500 people. But if they would have actually, you know, thought 19,000 Albertans were going to come and watch this thing,
I think
we wouldn't see a curtain.
Brent, up top, you wouldn't see the entire, and traditionally the upper bowls, you can fit more people in, right? Just because of the way that arenas are configured. So they've literally taken out most of the seating all of the seating on the upper bowl. So that to me, and I'm just looking at it, looks like half or three quarters of the lowest bowl and then some floors. Is that correct? Is that what you see here too from configuration?
Yeah. So either they either, you know, I didn't see it on sale. They either put it up on sale with the lower, with the uppers as part of it, and then it didn't sell and they moved everybody down, or they scaled it.
Really, I mean, I think we should just chalk it up as good. It didn't sell out. That doesn't mean that, in my opinion, the way I look at this is there is.
Can I do some math real quick before you get there? Because I want your opinion on it. I do. But I want to do some math based on what Brent said, just to kind of set the table for what you're going to say and where we're going to go with this conversation. Because, you know, if you were on social media, both shows were sold out. You know, Tucker Carlson was coming to town. He was going to save Albertans. He was going to liberate Canada. Couldn't get a ticket. $1,200 seats. That's what they were selling for. To your point, those $1,200 seats, specifically the $1,200 seats in the lower bowl, half of those were comped. And so let's just look at the total amount of people that were there. If you say around, according to your eyeball, your professional eyeball, 7,500 people that you kind of looks like you saw there. And if 3,000 tickets were bought by one individual named Dale, who Lachlan just talked to. So that's 4,500 seats, right? In a 19,000 seat arena. Now, do you think Dale was the only person to buy comp tickets and give them to churches like Dale did? No. There were several other organizations, including Take Back Alberta, including the UCP, who paid for tickets with government credit cards. That much I know, to give out to people who were going, right? So you're looking at maybe half of the amount of people who showed up. So half of the 75, so 3,750 who actually paid in a province of 4.5 million people. That's not a great draw. And everything that you see online where it's like, this has been incredible, is not that incredible. It is
It's not the first organization to lie about how an event is being, you know, sold.
No. Right. No, totally. So anyway, didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, I think the frustration I have with it is, what are you trying to say, Dean? Are you trying to say that this is an extreme point of view and that people that have extreme point of views only bought tickets? Good. There was still 8,000 people there. 8,000 people gave up their Wednesday night in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and went and saw this idiot talk. I think there should be some concerns about that. We did the same thing. When the convoy started, you were like, everyone was saying half the country is going to go. And then we're on the podcast making fun of, like, you know, oh, there's only 100 cars. And then it ended up being quite a few thousand people in Ottawa. And then it ended up being a problem. There's a growing dissension in this country, and it has been getting worse. It's concerning to me that somebody with that kind of a message comes to town, and whether he sold 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, 8,000, could have sold 19,000 tickets. It's concerning to me that he bilked all those people out of money, and that there is that growing number of people that want to pay to see that idiot talk. The guy wears khakis and bow ties, and he's some sort of poster child to save us all. And like you said, he comes from, you know, the United States of America, where they have massive problems of their own, right? Like it's concerning. I think that should be the conversation we have, instead of pointing out how many people went to Calgary and how many people went to Edmonton.
I think it's part of the conversation.
I think it's just frustrating to sit here and have a conversation about, right?
I don't care. I love it. I love it because it's part of the conversation.
Tool. The guy's a tool. He's a complete idiot. And not only that, it's a scam.
When he got there, it's totally a scam. The concerts were a scam. This was, and I'll tell you why they did it. Look at him. Look at him. He pissed his pants all throughout Alberta, Tucker Carlson. Look at that little pissy pants.
He figured out a way to get attention. Yeah, and I know that's,
and money while he's not,
that's
working.
Photoshopped. We should probably point that out. Honestly, he's figured out a way to rile up a group of people.
Yeah.
That are angry, and they're getting angrier.
Well, and he tags into it, and he's a leader of that culture. Can I tell you why he came to Alberta? Can I tell you why? Because I know why.
You're telling me that he wouldn't have drawn a crowd in Ontario. We're going to have that discussion.
Similar crowd, maybe.
I think he's going to draw a crowd everywhere. Sorry. Yeah. My point I'm trying to make is whether there was 7,500 or 8,000 people there. To Lachlan's point, though, it is dangerous that that it's like dangerous. It is dangerous that that message is being like, we're sold out and there's this many people. It's like, but my point to that though, Lachlan, is if it was really a thing, I know there's 8,000 people and who can afford $1,200 a ticket? I mean, if it was $50 a ticket, $40 a ticket, this, you know, there might be a bit of an interesting conversation here, but they didn't do three nights at Rogers. They didn't do he didn't do 45,000 people. It was eight, and it was, and the message that's going out is like, we're rising and we're going to take back Canada. And it's very dangerous. It is dangerous.
That should be the conversation. You know, not how many people showed up. Hang the on. Fact that this how is even happening.
They tie together, though.
How many people showed up is important, and how they showed up and what they paid and if they paid and where the tickets were bought, because everything is getting papered in that movement this day, to your point. Mm-hmm. You know that Died Suddenly movie? Papered. You know the Jim Caviezel movie where the guy made the human trafficking show? I can't remember the name of it. Human trafficking thing, and then he got arrested for like Sound of Freedom, and then he got arrested for human trafficking shortly after that. They're like, it's a sellout all over the world. It again, papered. People were just buying online. This event was papered because there is not support, wide support for this kind of individual or this kind of rhetoric, this kind of white supremacy, this kind of hatred, other than in the desire of your politicians that run that province. Now, let me tell you why they brought Tucker Carlson to town, and then we'll get to some of the content, and then we'll let Brent split because I know he's busy. I'll tell you why. This is why he did it. Tucker Carlson is the second most important lightning rod in MAGA. Mm-hmm. Second most. Now, the number one guy is Donald Trump, without question. Right. And there's rumors that he's going to be the VP for Donald Trump. Rumors.
Whatever. Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
Yeah. It makes me laugh every time because, like I said, the guy comes to Alberta and just pisses his pants. It's not enough.
That's not Photoshop. Although, I got to say this, if I wore khakis like that, I'd probably get caught with a pee stain at least twice a day.
Terrible idea. So, anyway, Marlena Kolodnicki, Danielle Smith, is a hardcore Maple MAGA person. She's MAGA through and through. If she could, she'd live in the States. She hates Canada. She loves what America does. She wants Alberta to become part of Canada. She's made no bones about it, that she's all about privatization, free enterprise. No, she is. And so she's a member of that cult. She's a member of that movement. She wants the same thing in the United States, in Canada, that Tucker Carlson's people want in the United States. So what better way to insulate yourself from the onslaught of hatred for being the complete moron you are than to bring the second in command of MAGA to town with his 11 and a half million followers, give him hundreds of thousands of dollars to tell your sad story about your province that's being beat up by Canada and Trudeau and all the gays and all the brown people and all the immigrants. What an incredible stroke of marketing genius on behalf of David Parker from Take Back Alberta, Danielle Smith, and every sycophant who supports that man and his rise to being the second in command of the white supremacy movement in this, what we call North America. Because that's exactly why she did it. She knew, and those people knew, David Parker knew, you want to get under the skin of people, you bring Tucker Carlson to town, and you have him do things like call the prime minister's office to tell him he's coming to liberate Canada. This is so what stupid. He put, and I'm going to watch this. This is what he put on his social media for people. Watch. This is.
Thank you for your call. You have reached the media line. For all urgent requests, please send your request by email. Merci pour votre appel. Vous avez atteint la ligne médiatique. Merci beaucoup.
Yes, hi. I couldn't understand the French part, but it's Tucker Carlson calling from the United States. And I'd be grateful if you pass a message on to the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau. We are coming to liberate Canada. We are coming to liberate Canada. And we'll be there soon. Merci.
It's all theater.
Every prize fight needs a heel and a face.
You know that from wrestling. But it worked because the entire government of Canada was like, we can't believe he's here. And I'm like, whatever, dude, relax. The guy pissed his pants. He's Mr. Pissy Pants. Like,
can I tell you a quick little story?
No, not right now.
Brent, but Before I do, though, do you have anything else you want to add? I do need to tell you this story, Dean. I think you're.
I don't know if I want your. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
I'm good. You go ahead.
Tell your little story.
The flat Earth society was coming to town, and so we have a little person on the locker room. His name is James P. White. He's 4 feet tall. So we did a paper mache of the globe, and like of the Earth. And we wanted to dress him up and take him to the Flat Earth Conference. And it was here for a weekend. And the tickets were like they were crazy expensive, like $300, $400 a piece. So we wanted to buy passes, and you could only buy the weekend passes. And we went to the boss and said, there's three of us on the show. We want to go and want to do some video of Jimmy walking around the Flat Earth Conference with the globe on, right? And they're like, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. We're not giving you the money for that. So we went on the air and we started a GoFundMe, and we raised like $1,500 and we bought the tickets and went out for lunch. And we take Jimmy to the Flat Earth Conference, and we roll and tape. And there wasn't a lot of people there, but there was enough. And we made a bit of a scene. Doesn't matter what happened. There's video of up on the Locker Room YouTube page if you ever want to find it. But when we were there, we ended up running into a guy, and he sort of took a bit of a shine to us. He thought that what we were doing was kind of funny, even though he was part of the Flat Earth Society. And as it stands, he was actually a guy that was brought up to speak. And he has a YouTube channel down in the States and everything like that. So he knew we were broadcasters. So he ended up coming out and having a meal with us, and we chatted. And I'm not going to say his name. I remember his name. But he admitted to me, he said, this whole thing is a scam. I'm like, what? He goes, nobody believes this shit. We put these conferences on and we make a killing. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And that's all this is.
That is, it's, you nailed it. That is exactly it. It is. Like, I'm going to troll. So, and it's a
doesn't diminish. But it doesn't diminish the fact that there's a problem.
It is. I totally get it. But what I'm saying is, and you nailed it, that's part of it, right? Part of it is that they want to convince everybody this movement's massive and get out the way. Look out. Here comes
Tucker made money.
Mega. You know how much he made?
Theo made money.
$1.4 million. Tucker Carlson. Two nights, two shows he couldn't sell out. And there's Theo Fleury and Jamie Saleh doing fucking backflips in the aisle going, this is incredible, because all it does is justify their miserable existences. And here's the other thing.
It's a money grab. That's all it is, man.
Yesterday, I've got a couple hundred thousand people on Twitter between two accounts. I'm like, hey, I want to talk to anybody, and I'll give you full access. Anybody who went to Tucker Carlson. I asked several people who went. Lachlan asked some people who went. Will you come on the show just to tell us what you heard? Talk about the experience. What did every single one of them say?
No. No?
Not a chance. Not only no, two of the people I said today was like, you think I'm going to fucking serve myself up for you? And I'm like, yeah, if you're proud of going and if you think that your $1,200 is well spent,
like to think,
and you'll be proud enough to come on my show and go, here's what my hero said. But they're like, yeah, I'm not doing that. And I'm like, well, what are you embarrassed for? And it goes back to the convoy, which, by the way, might come back again. Goes to the convoy where it's like, I donated to the Give, Send, Go. I can't believe you put up my name. I'm like, why the fuck wouldn't you be proud of that? If you're so proud of this stance you have and the position you have and what you're doing and supporting this guy, why are you embarrassed to talk about it or to tell people?
That's an interesting part of this conversation, because I know a guy that went, and I was texting back and forth with him. And I won't say his name because he basically told me to pound sand. But I was trying to goad him into coming on. And at one point during the text exchange, I was like, ah, you're a snowflake. And then it got ugly, and then it got mean. But I wanted to have a conversation with somebody legit, a legit conversation with somebody about what it is that they believe without making fun of them. Yeah. Because the funny thing is, I think we all sort of live in this world where there's these extremes and there's these weird things going on. And like Tucker Carlson coming to town, taking $1.4 million out of our province to speak for 4 hours to rile up a crowd. That's asinine. That is so insane that that's happening. What did they accomplish, people? What did they accomplish? Absolutely nothing. But why are people so mad? That's the more interesting part of this
conversation. Because he's a racist and he's a piece of shit and he hates immigrants.
I go the other way, Dean. I don't even know if people are mad, Locke. The thing is more the rhetoric that's coming out is that it's this massive movement. And Trudeau's going to lose by a landslide, and it's going to be this, you know, it's going to be MAGA. What's it called, Dean? It's like MAGA
Maple
Canada,
MAGA.
Maple MAGA, or whatever it's going to be.
I think you actually coined that, Dean.
I started it,
but I travel a substantial amount. I was in, I don't know, 40 countries last year. I'm in America right now. Lachlan, to your point about trying to have people have regular conversations. I travel with 100 people at a time, and it's suffice to say that, you know, it maybe 50-50 split, or you're, you know, 70-30 or whatever, depending on the situation. But I generally like to think that it's a relatively 50-50 split based on what we're seeing in the world. And I'm having normal conversations with people. And I'm asking questions about what's going to fix it. Because everyone's like, Pierre Poopoo is going to fix it. You guys call him Pee-Pee, I call him Poopoo. Pierre Poopoo is going to fix it. It's like, no, he's not going to fix it. Like, it's not whether Trudeau's in there, and I'm not a Trudeau guy either. I'm about a boot, whatever. I'm very Canadian right now. But I am about, you know, just making my situation, my house, like where I live and in my area, that's all we can really control. So the rest of this, to your point, Lachlan, it's all rhetoric. It's all whatever.
It's bullshit.
And I don't think it's going to be a majority for anybody. It's not going to be a majority for anybody. Whether Poopoo gets in or not, he's still not going to get anything done because I just don't think there's enough. It's very frustrating for me to travel around and see this. And also the fact that the rest of the world could give two fucks what's going on in North America, by the way.
I think
the more you travel, the more you get out of your head, the more you get offline, the more you get into people's faces.
People don't care.
There
about
are
what
no conversations like this. Like everybody's like, and you know what? You talk to anybody in real life, IRL, right? In real life. And they all hate Tucker Carlson. I don't know one single person. I've never talked to a person who's like, such a tool. You know what? I really like that guy. I'm like, of course you don't. Nobody does. Everybody hates him. So to Brent's point, it's all performative, right? This is all for clips. This is all for, like, how do we get people to think Alberta's rising up in the face of Canada? How do we make our country look? And if you got 11.2 million subscribers on Twitter, and if you're Tucker Carlson, man, you can charge whatever to go there and curate any kind of narrative that exists. It's all bullshit, and all that shit's bullshit. That's why the amount of people that went, who paid, and if it was papered, is important. That's why it's an important part of the conversation.
Do we think that Pierre Poopoo is going to bring the cost of groceries down?
No, he can't.
I'm asking this for everybody that I know. That's the core of it. People forget the difference between federal and provincial issues. That's the thing that's very frustrating to me. It's like we have a problem. Yes, but it's also very expensive in Portugal, everybody. It's also extremely expensive in South Africa. It's very expensive in India. All the places that I've been, and people are like, I don't give a shit. That's them. That's not us. Sure. But it's just as expensive here. It's expensive everywhere around the world. It's not just a Canada problem. It's everywhere around the world. And every leader of every single thing is balancing the same shit. So you can't sit there and go, well, Pierre's going to fix everything. He might fix one or two things. And Trump might fix one or two things, and this person might fix one or two things, but we still have a problem in our neighborhoods. You know, it's got to start there. So
I think what ends up happening when you're talking about politics and you're talking about whatever issues we're dealing with, inflation, housing costs, homeless, immigration, whatever it is, it's easy to put horns on somebody. And it's a lot easier just to say, I am sick of this Justin Trudeau government. This liberal government has screwed us, right? And what ends up happening, I think, is we stop realizing what the core issues are, and we've made him the villain, and it's just easy that way. And some people are so mad. Like I think we need a change of government because I think 8 years of Justin Trudeau and the liberals is enough. I'm very concerned about the replacement. And what ends up happening is you get the government that we have. There's levels of corruption and they do things a certain way, right? And they're lining the pockets of their friends and their families and themselves. They just do it one way. Okay. Mm-hmm. And everyone goes, they're corrupt, and they are, right? There's corruption in this government and big business is taking advantage that is tied to the Liberal government is taking advantage of the last 8 years. If PP gets in power, there'll be just as much corruption. He will just do it differently. And he'll just, it'll come from a different place.
Yeah.
So what we're dealing with.
But we won't have a complete fucking embarrassment, like not having any understanding of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, doing international policy, acting as our figurehead too.
So are you telling me that Justin Trudeau isn't embarrassing?
Not in the last couple of years. First six were real tough.
The internet will do the work.
Funny outfits. Yeah, for sure.
And the internet will do the work. On our behalf.
Yes.
Absolutely. So it doesn't matter who gets in on either side. The internet will do the work. But, you know, when I said like the rest of the world doesn't care about what's happening in North America, it's the same thing with Ontario, with Ford, with the Greenbelt, which I know is old news, but that doesn't affect me in British Columbia. What affects me in British Columbia is my grocery bill in British Columbia, but that's an Ontario problem. It's just the difference between federal and provincial, and it's driving me a little bonkers that the people
are uneducated and don't understand the difference between federal, municipal, and provincial politics.
It's just that people think that it's like in America and it's anywhere. It's like, well, we're going to put that person in and everything's going to change.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the wrong way to approach it. They're all criminals. The interesting thing about it too, right? Like you're looking at, we're basically a two-party country. I mean, yes, we have an NDP but I mean, come on, let's be honest. It's liberals and conservatives, and that's what's going to happen. We're probably going to put a conservative government in power this next time around. I think Justin and the liberals are in trouble. And I think it the thing is, we're still going to be embarrassed by our leader. I mean, look at PP.
Oh yeah, dude. He's an embarrassment before he even gets there.
I mean, isn't the feeling that he's not going to be the guy anyways by the time it's all done.
Yeah, maybe. I don't care. Brent, I just enjoy the show.
I think you really don't want him to be the leader. I think people need to be. I think if you're that bothered by PP, you better really do some self talk in the next year because it's coming.
I think it's coming as well. But I'm just saying it's like to everyone that's like jumping on a soapbox. I don't think that's going to.
He's not the answer, Brent.
But he's not But the answer is like
he's the replacement. We don't vote in somebody that's worthy of the job.
What was your thing that you said before, Locke, about how we vote in Canada?
We don't vote people in, we vote people out.
We've never voted
anybody in. We're done with the guy that's there, and we're so angry that we think that the next best option is the guy with the glasses and the
and then we make a terrible mistake and we're like, oh my god, we're stuck like this for 4 years. I saw a road rage incident like this online the other day. And it's a great analogy for what we're talking about, which is like, hey, you can be real tough. You know, you can pretend to be something you're not until the pushback comes. This incident made me laugh my ass off. This happened in Ontario. I want to play this for you. Gentleman makes the terrible decision to get out of his car with his entire family and confront another motorist in a road rage incident. Now, I live by one modicum when it comes to road rage. Always know who you're up against before you get out of the car. Let's watch this together.
Who?
You're the one driving like an idiot.
I'm not driving. She's got the fucking phone.
I have the phone.
I left you on the phone.
I have to pick your finger up.
Oh, fuck you, man.
Fuck you, bitch. Don't fucking take my fucking picture.
Get the fuck away from my car, buddy. Okay? Before I fucking... Get the fuck away, buddy. Oh, you want to fuck around?
Maybe don't.
You want to fuck around, you little fucking...
One dude getting all aggressive is 5'3". He gets after a motorist who gets out and he's like, I've had enough of this shit. He's 6'10" and enormous. Did you see the look on the little guy's face when the guy got out? He stopped, stepped back, and then his wife looked at him like,
Don't.
Shut the fuck
up. Start the car.
We've made a bad decision. This has been a terrible decision.
The kids jumped out. They knew that their old man was about to just.
Oh, dude, did you see the kid grab the giant guy's arm at the end and basically look at him and go, thank you for not murdering my dumb dad.
Please, please get back in your car. My dad's an idiot.
But it's the same thing. Like, I watched that road rage incident, and it's like, you can pretend to be anything you want until you don't know what you're up against, right? And there are a lot of people in this country, like a ton of people in this country, who know what Pierre Poilievre is all about. They know, they're already tuned in. They don't care. They're just sitting here lying in wait. So when you talk about him maybe coming, dude, wait till October of next year. Wait till 2025, because I'm telling you, this country is going to answer the bell. We're going to be the people that actually appreciate democracy, no matter what happens in the United States, even though the Donald Trump, and by the way, for breaking news, Donald Trump is now $83.3 million poorer. Judge Kaplan's jury came back with an award for raping and then defaming his victim, Eugene Carroll.
Million.
Yeah, Donald Trump. I'll just read this to you. $83.3 million decision. They awarded the author and columnist, who's $87.3 million for compensatory damages, $11 million to restore her reputation. This is what I love. And $65 million in punitive damages for Trump's defamatory statements, the total amount which needs to be paid ASAP, $83.3 million. Now, here's the really cool part of that whole thing. And this is what I love. I love it when stuff like this happens to good people. I don't know Eugene Carroll, but the guy has just destroyed her over the past little bit. On top of raping her, is that he was found guilty of rape. These were the damages that she was supposed to give, but he couldn't shut the fuck up. Couldn't stop talking. So he traditionally would only be out $18.3 million, but they upped that to $83.3 million. On the idea that he's been bragging in depositions that he's worth at least $10 billion. So they took a deposition of him bragging about how much money he's worth, and they applied that amount to what he has to pay Eugene Carroll. So this dude's mouth just cost him $83.5 million.
I think he'll ever pay it. Like,
does she ever see a dime of it? That's the question.
That's the sad part.
I think so. I think you have to. I think this is one of those, like Judge Kaplan, the guy in the case, this is one of those things where they're like, what are you going to do? Declare bankruptcy? What are you going to do? Because they will go after it. They will put liens on him. Judge Kaplan said that today. He's like, I'm not letting you get away with this. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Isn't that fucking crazy? $83.5 million.
I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about the Trump-Biden thing, right? And it was a pretty honest conversation between two people that are very torn about... Right. Because I think there's this sense down there that things aren't great right now and that Biden might be the reason why. And they were talking about the number of people coming over the border and all that kind of stuff. And they're like, I don't know if we can get another 4 years of this. Right. But then they were like, only in America can a guy with 91 indictments end up winning the head of the Republican Party and running for president again. Like, only in the United States of America. And they were sitting there trying to come up with another country in the world where this would even be remotely possible, and they couldn't.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And I keep saying this out loud when the Trump thing comes up. You can like him, you can hate him, they are going to be studying this for 1,000 years if we don't blow ourselves up.
Yeah.
This is so bizarre.
It's not even about the position anymore.
No,
it's not even about the position of president anymore. It's about the message. And that's the scary part of it, which was why he got in initially. People were like, he spoke to the middle and no one else was speaking to the middle. And fair enough. And I certainly travel with a substantial amount of people that live in that space. But I think it's not even about the presidency now. I think people would look. Like, it's going to be 4-8. It's going to be like 8 years, 12 years, regardless of who wins, before I feel like that office even settles down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because there's who's in waiting. You've got the people in waiting. I think they think that Vivek guy is going to end up being his vice president. And then, but in the Canada, it's like, who's in waiting on both parties? Who's in waiting in America?
That's the problem.
And who's in waiting? It's still going to be 12 years before I think that office even settles down. Yeah.
The other issue, Brent, isn't necessarily whether or not you like this guy or don't like that guy, or you lean one way or the other. The other issue is that we are not putting our best foot forward politically. It's a nightmare. And no one wants to get into politics anymore. They're having a hard time finding people to run because for the first time ever.
Maybe politics took all the good ones out of radio. Maybe that's what happened.
For the first time ever in the city of Edmonton. And this is, I heard this. This might be a rumor, but they go home with security. The city councilors and the mayor of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Dude, you know why?
Security guards.
You know why they do now? Is because some kid named Bazani.
This was before.
Savar,
this was before that, Dean.
Probably. I mean, because they get threatened, but you had a shooting at City Hall 4 days ago. You had some psycho go in there to end woke disease, which is why Carlson showed up. Tucker Carlson showed up to talk about defending yourself and your country against wokeism. And then there's this dude who's in his early 20s. His name's Bazani Savar. And he goes into City Hall with a couple of assault weapons and a couple of Molotov cocktails. And he shoots the place up in the name of woke diseases, wokeism disease.
And corruption. Dude.
Corruption. Yeah. I mean, you know, politicians here, same thing. MPs. You know, some of these people can't even be at home. There's a sitting senator the other day that literally left her house because a politician put up a wanted sign about her. Like a Canadian senator left her house. Andrew Scheer did it. Like we don't live in normal times, dude. 2 years ago, to this, almost to the day, I had police showing up at my house from Toronto Police saying, "You've got like a few hundred death threats that we need to look into." And I'm like, "What?" It's like, yeah, and then someone claimed to be you threatened to shoot all the city councilors at Toronto City Hall. And I'm like, what? Like, yeah, do you have this email address on Proton Mail? I'm like, no. No, dude, like, it's the same people that put Tucker Carlson and Rogers. It's the same people that chase you around. It's the same people that call your radio show, tell you don't know nothing. It's the dummies. It's the dummies that can't self-moderate, dude. And we do not have people who lead culture. We have people that hijack culture. We have people that hijack culture for votes, but we don't have people who are like, you know, we look up to go, hey, listen, and they do it for money. Yeah, absolutely, dude. It's a circular, cyclical thing that's been happening in politics and media for years, like years and years and years.
Oh yeah. How does it get fixed? Two smart guys on here. I don't think I've met
three people on this thing. Did you just say there's two smart guys here?
Yeah, so the guys on that side. That you guys are smart dudes. So you guys are smart dudes. My thing is I've never met anybody who switched their beliefs on that side of it. You might have people that might end up more in the middle or whatever, but I right now especially there's like you're all the way on both on one side or the other, and I have no idea how this gets fixed, and it's all over the world.
I think people have to just start having conversations, and that's why I get a little twitchy when we do podcasts like this where we're mocking that side of the beliefs.
What you could do, dude. There's nothing else. No, to do.
I disagree, Dean. I disagree. You and I we're never going to see eye to eye on this. I didn't want to bring somebody on that went to the Tucker Carlson thing to make fun of them. I wanted to have a legit conversation with them. I didn't want to and you're aggressive, Dean, and you're frustrated and sometimes
that's rude.
Quite often that what's happening is it's inflaming that side, right?
Well, let me ask you a question. You tell me we're inflaming that side by mocking the ridiculousness. Like that whole Tucker Carlson thing was ridiculous. The tweets I get from Tucker Carlson fans calling me a pedo to go suck Justin's dick, all this other stuff. Like I ignore.
I'm not saying 90, that they're wrong.
I ignore 99%
of how they handle
99%. The rest of it,
the rest of it, which is so painfully in operation, which is so stupid, I can only laugh at them now. And when you tell me it's not helping, I don't give a shit. I don't think anybody else does. Like, you know, it's it.
I
you
do
know the whole thing about tolerance. Nah, I'm I know
way more,
you do.
I'm way more empathetic than you are.
Yeah. Okay.
You know. That's you know. The, you know. I actually. I listen to all of them. I don't listen from the standpoint. I can't wait to listen to Tucker Carlson. What I do is I'm like, what did he talk about today? Like on his show, or what did Vivek talk about in an interview? What does Megan talk about? I want to know what they're talking about. And on the surface, it comes off as like some of it comes off as like, hey, we just want this to change. We just want this to change. And you're like, okay, there seems to be like this underlying, it's like, but it's, we don't want to say that because we're going to, you know, it's just easier to rile people up and poke the bear. And on the, I try to listen to all of them because I'm out here and I got nothing but time. So I try to listen to every single thing that people are saying. I watch Bill Maher, Chris Cuomo, I watch all these guys and listen to the people that they're talking to and the conversations that they're having. And the common theme is always, we need change and freedoms and we got to take our countries back. And I'm like, from what? I always say, from what? And no one ever has that answer. It's just, we need to take it back. And dude, no one ever has the answer. I'm in Oklahoma right now.
Big business.
Who are sending a shit ton of like National Guard troops to Texas. Okay. To support Greg Abbott, because there's this fight between Greg Abbott and the president, and the president wants to like federalize the National Guard or whatever it is, so they have to answer to the president. So all the other states around are sending their National Guard in and doing a whole thing. And that's what I was talking about earlier, the difference between federal, provincial, whether it be federal or state. And there's this massive, massive like pissing match between the you know, these states, and it very much reminds me of like what's happening in Canada, it used to be Quebec against this, against the rest of the country. Now it's Alberta against the rest of the country. There's never a fucking moment. There's never a fucking moment where we're all around a table going, that was kind of fun. It's nuts. It's nuts.
Dude, it is nuts. But it's strategically nuts on behalf of the people that are doing this. Hang on a sec. Yeah. You've got every state that is run by Reds and every province that is run by conservatives up here, every GOP state, every conservative state, every conservative province has one goal and one goal only. And it ain't the people of the province. It's to be as derelict as humanly possible to shut down United States, to shut down Canada, to make Canada, the United States, look like shit so that they look like a healthy alternative. No, dude, I'm telling you, this is the truth, is that federal parties that are not in power are getting assists from state and provincial parties who are. And their goal is to continually be a thorn in the side of federal politicians who they do not share party affiliation with. And the goal is to get their federal partner in there so that they can collude together. That's what happens with the Liberal Party.
That's what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And it crosses both aisles. Yeah. We're seeing the militarization of it to the detriment of Canadians and Americans. No, it's happening here too. Dude, it's happening in Alberta. You guys took it in the face. Do you know how stupid Alberta looks today because of what went on there over the past weekend? It was ridiculous. Like 24th, 25th, you've got Tucker Carlson in town. You bring a white supremacist second in command of the MAGA movement. And it's like, oh my God, this is not Canadian.
That's not a representation of this whole
thing. He went off. Tucker Carlson went off on Chrystia Freeland, made a bunch of gay jokes about Justin Trudeau being in the closet. And then went after Canada like it is the shithole he thinks he is. And the people in that province applauded him wildly. They were like this. The people in those arenas applauded him wildly. And so the whole goal.
We've already talked about how
all that
hatred there were
of the federal government. Yeah, not many. A few thousand. Not many. Yeah. And then like only a couple thousand paid. Everybody else got free tickets because Dale bought a whole bunch.
So how does Tucker end up with $1.4 million in his jeans when he gets back on the flight, flies into Colorado?
I know.
That money came from somewhere, right?
Oh yeah, it came from businesses who promised it, who have a vested interest in keeping Danielle Smith in power. Yeah. It came from the oil and gas industry.
So there's corruption. There's corruption on that 100%. Side, and there's corruption with the government that we have in power right now.
Let's just figure out a way to make French fries not $9 a bag. Okay.
Well,
that'd be nice.
And that's we've talked about that on the show quite a bit. And every time they haul the billionaire like grocery store magnates into Congress to chastise them, every time they leave, they get on the phone with each other and like, let's just make it worse. You're embarrassing millionaires.
Jack up the price of liver.
Yeah, they're not. It's just all for show. And the funny thing is the people that are sitting in front of them can actually make regulations and decisions. They can pass things through Parliament that would force these companies to bring down the price of groceries. And they don't. So instead, they make a big deal out of sitting them down in a room with cameras and saying, you, what are you doing to make sure that the price of groceries comes down? And every time they leave that room, because they get madder and madder, they come on, they get on the phone with each other and go, all right, what are we doing this week? All right, let's fuck them with chicken.
Double the price of bread.
Honestly.
But Poopoo was right. Poopoo has been tweeting like crazy about how
he's not going to do anything to fix it.
That's what I'm saying. He's too, like the cost of Justin Trudeau's Canada and groceries. It's like, okay, fix it then. Do something and be like, milk is $3. The whole time I'm going to be in, milk's $3. And the whole time I'm in, ground beef is going to be $3. That's it. And we're going to, this is what we're going to do. And if he does that,
bullshit.
Right? But then you'll be the savior of the world.
I keep saying to Dean, the one thing that you've got to give PP and the conservatives credit for is they have been on point with their messaging. Because when you have conversations with people in the bar in Alberta, when you're sitting over a pint of beer, the talk about inflation and the price of things, and then the connection between that and politics, the Conservative Party seems to be by far in a way. And I just shake my head. It's so stupid. They're not going to do anything. They're going to be in the pockets of somebody.
Well, and here's the great part about that, too, is that you know, to Brent's
point, convinced the public. They have convinced the public that they're going to bring the price of groceries down.
They're going to bring the price of groceries down. They've actually confused the public on purpose, because if you understand anything about inflation, greedflation, shrinkflation, market economy, shipping costs, all that other stuff, if you understand anything about it, you know that everything that has to do with inflation and housing, supply and demand, grocery stores, has to do with commerce, greed, commerce, monopolies, oligopolies, right? Speculation and supply and demand. And those are all provincial things. They have nothing to do with the federal government.
Not in Alberta. Everything is Justin's fault. Please make that distinction.
Yeah. Well, I think we did some good work today.
The price of electricity, the price of groceries.
Everything.
Everything is Justin's fault, Dean. The
most common question I get touring is, what's my favorite part of the world to travel in? What's my favorite part of favorite country I've ever gone to, and all the rest?
And who has the best hookers?
No, I mean I'm pretty confident everyone's just defaulting to Amsterdam on that.
Romania is pretty good too.
I will tell you this: is that my first answer is Canada, home. Vancouver is one of the most beautiful spots in the world, and people fly here to get what we have, or fly there. I'm not there right now to get what we have, and don't ever forget it. Because until you're standing
that's what I say all the time
outside of a cafe, and a rocket flies over your head and bombs the store next to you, right? Tell me again about your fucking freedoms, because it's driving me bonkers.
You have to keep saying that kind of stuff out loud, and you know what? Regardless of your political stance, I'm not happy with the cost of living. I mean, we're my wife and I do really well, but we're check to check. And I'm like, I keep telling my wife, I'm like, how much money do we make? Like, why is this? Why are we never getting ahead? And
because you own 43 rental properties and you're like a slumlord. That's why.
Okay. We are not getting ahead. I'm going to have to work. Like, I hope you like me, Edmonton.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on the air until I'm 87. Because I'm
assuming there's still going to be radio by then.
Yeah. Why do you think I'm podcasting with Dean? Eventually, he's going to have to start paying me. Anyway, I I think that's a good way to put a bow on this conversation. And I'm glad you brought it up. And yeah. And I'm glad it's coming from somebody that has traveled all over the world. What did you say? You were in 40 countries last year?
Yes. And I just missed Israel. I just missed Tel Aviv by 2.5 weeks. And prior to that, I was sitting there talking to the staff, you know, about what the political landscape was like. And they showed me a video of the dome stopping rockets.
Yeah.
And all the rest of it. And then also showed me a video of them of them hanging out at a store eating food. And then the nightclub, like four stores down, gets hit with a rocket. So picture everybody, you are at Lee's Palace in Toronto, or you're at the West Edmonton Mall, and you're just enjoying some time with your family, and a rocket takes out the club two doors down. I know it's a bigger thing than this, but I want groceries to come down like everybody else. We live in a beautiful spot. We are nice people. We still have a very great reputation for being some of the best people in the world.
It's not a tyrannical dictatorship.
There's some problems. They need to be fixed. And
yeah, well put.
And you know,
we're very
chill the fuck lucky. Out. I'm gonna tell everybody to chill the fuck out today. Yeah, everybody chill out.
Go get Lachlan. The average age of retirement is 77, the average male death age is 77, and the average retirement age is 67. So what the fuck are we doing with our time? Just go out there and live it. Okay. Yeah.
I have a feeling I might not be able to get to retirement at 67, so I might actually have 1 year of retirement before I die. 76, and I get there.
Anyway, Brent, great to see you. Dude Did Will is the name of your podcast. Download, subscribe wherever you get your fine podcasts. It's a good one. He talks to people that have done a great job, that are really good at what they do, and he gets right into their grill, too. And it's a tremendous podcast.
Tried to get me on it, and I'm like, I'm not doing this.
No, you shouldn't. I don't think you should, actually, because you've done nothing of note. Not like some of the people he has on his show. I can't believe.
Well, I'm thinking about starting 7 minute episodes in a little while. So Lachlan, you can come on and just be like, I was in radio. I left on radio.
You'll get 7 minutes. You'll get the preamble for one quick story. That's what you get in 7 minutes.
Lachlan, I want you to come on the show. Come on, you've done. Things.
I know. I hate the whole. What have you done?
It's a teaching moment.
Yeah, you're sharing your what you've learned along.
Have you been on it?
Who want to get there? No, not yet. He hasn't invited.
See, then
fuck you. I haven't invited you. I'm always getting the well. There's some stuff to talk about. Then I'll get.
Dean's like me. We don't like to talk about what we've accomplished because we're embarrassed about what we've been doing.
Dean was under the Dean was on the old incarnation. Yeah, he will be on the new incarnation.
But you haven't invited me, and you invited him.
So hey, Brent.
I've done way more than
Christ.
Him. I'm way more famous than he is.
You're totally more famous than me.
Yeah. I mean, duh.
I got a much bigger hog, but... Hey, Brent, yeah. Can you help Dean and I get Zach Bryan tickets?
Can we not do this on air?
Just say no if you can't, because I've got a line out to Warner.
Let me call a person. We'll see what we got going on.
You don't have to. And I shouldn't have brought it up on the podcast.
Let me call a person.
I hate it when you do this. Radio guys are the worst.
I'm okay when somebody says no. Go pound you're sand. I'm not awful. Doing that for you.
You're awful.
Hey, let me look at some. Let me look at some options. Let me talk to some people.
Put this guy on the spot for free Zach Bryan tickets for you and myself. Would be really nice if you
and 19 other people that I'll get a list about. Oh, by the way, the Cryer Media is going to come down, and
I can't believe you're putting him in a position to give us at least 4 to 6 box seats for the upcoming Zach Bryan show this summer.
I don't need box seats.
Can you let me work here, please? Can you not fuck this up?
All right. Yeah.
And backstage passes.
No. Passes to I don't want to meet him. I don't want to ruin it.
I love everyone's like. The 80s thing is still rolling around. Can you get me backstage? What do you want to see? You want to see a roadie reading a book, and then you want to see some not great catering, or what do you want?
You want to see the craft table? You want to see some wires and some amps? No problem.
But people are going to be swinging off the thing.
How many times a day do you get asked for tickets? It must just piss you off.
No, I mean, it's sort of like, I don't really anymore per se, unless it's like, you know, when Taylor Swift announced her thing, I just put no on my Facebook, just the word no. So I just said no.
And have you guys seen Taylor Swift?
It got a lot of play because people were like, okay, we understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you guys seen the Taylor Swift AI pictures?
No.
The nudes? Of course not.
No.
I was kind of shocked at how realistic they
How do you know? It's AI. How do you know it's realistic?
Time to go.
You've never seen her naked?
I know, but didn't it? Like, listen, I got a picture of me.
The company. She's suing the company, by the way, that did those.
She's suing Twitter. And listen,
yeah,
I'm Twitter.
Good for her.
Yeah,
massively pro Swift. She's doing wonderful work.
Yeah,
I think for many, many people. So, like, I think she's doing great stuff.
She's quite awesome. She's quite an artist. I don't get the level of popularity, but it is what it is.
You know why? Well, she got popular because of talent, but number two. Don't steal her catalog.
Oh yeah,
and then have
revenge
her
is a dish best served cold by Taylor Swift.
Quite a little business mogul too. She's not fooling around. She's quite serious.
She's going to inspire, and she's going to absolutely break out a whole new group of music lovers and listeners and musicians and you name it, because she's doing it live. She's playing live. She's playing as many songs as possible. A lot of guitars are being bought. So kudos.
There you go. All right. There you go. I didn't know that Lachlan had a Taylor Swift thing. And yes, I have seen the pictures. And yes, they're terrible.
Can someone create an AI picture of Lachlan and Tucker?
You know what?
In a sweet embrace.
There was one of me with my face on Michael Phelps' body that my wife has. When I call, it comes up on her phone. So.
Thanks for doing this, guys. Great to see you.
Good to see you, fellas.
Podcast, download, sub the podcast. Of course, Lachlan, you've run the show today. I don't see why we would separate ourselves from that at the end.
Okay. I want to make a dedication. This is to my mom's partner,
yep.
Carl, who passed away this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Carl and my mom were together for 20 plus years, and he was a very interesting man, very smart. And he will be missed. He got really sick just before Christmas and we just lost him.
How's your mom? She okay?
She's not good. He was 63.
Mm. Young.
Really young. Yeah. So,
well, I'm
sorry man.
Yeah. That's okay, man. I needed a little distraction this afternoon. So I appreciate the distraction. Cheers. Thank you.
Dude, it's always good to have you, even though. You basically
I'm a pain in the
this
ass
whole thing over
normally.
And we're a huge pain in the ass. Yeah. I love you. And I'm sorry about Carl. And please wish your lovely mother all the best for us.
I will.
And you too. I mean, obviously it's a relationship in your life, right?
Yeah. You know yeah. He was a good guy. Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, listen,
all right. You guys have a good one. Carl. Good to see you, Brent.
See you, Brent. See you guys. Brent Donnelly, Dude Did Will, Lachlan Thanks. Cross at Brent Donnelly. You can find him on Twitter at Brent Donnelly, at Lachlan Cross on Twitter as well. You can listen to Lachlan every single weekday morning. He's the host of the Locker Room radio show, 957 Cruise FM in Edmonton. That's where you can find him. It was a bit of a dog's breakfast today. But I do want to bring one thing up before I let you go. It's an hour and 20 minutes. Came across this bad boy today. And if you're watching this on YouTube, Cryer Media on YouTube, Dean Blundell Show on YouTube, you can see it. It's a poster for the next Freedom Convoy. Freedom Convoy 2.0, which was last summer, but whatever. So it's like 2.2, maybe, or 3. I don't know which 4. There's been a couple. They tried to get to Ottawa a couple months ago and ended up camping out at Farmers Field, and everybody got botulism. But whatever. Maybe it's 2.5. I don't know. But the Freedom Convoy 2.0 is apparently February 27th, 2024 in Ottawa. They want to plan better this time. So they have a couple sponsors, Suicide Prevention in the United States, which is a lie. I've contacted them. They don't know anything about this, but that's the American number for suicide prevention. So keep that handy if you're in the States and you're feeling sad. They've got a truck. They've got what looks to be a tractor, some really cool All Lives Matter stuff, some unity and peace, and some, I don't know, a bunch of different colored fists to denote that they're not racist, I guess. All humanity arise, it says. Ottawa, Freedom Convoy 2.0. It's
It's one of the worst fucking photos I've ever seen in my life. That is a terrible poster. If you guys are going to be taken seriously this time, you need better posters. You need real graphic arts. No MS Paint. Don't get a piece of construction paper and take a picture of it like you did there and say, this is our poster. We're coming back. You want people to take you seriously as convoyers. You want to follow up last 2 years ago's Bananarama. You need better editors, graphic designers. Just a quick pro tip. Have a great day. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. As always, brought to you by our friends at CanTorque. They make rugged, hardworking torque wrenches, Canada's leading industrial tool experts. They're on the podcast tomorrow with Colin. So you're going to listen to Colin talk about resilience and how he got into the business from the worst day in his life to where he is now, 20 years as Canada's leading industrial tool expert out of Edmonton, Ontario, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Pardon me. Beautiful people in Alberta, most of you. That's where CanTorque is. And he does this for heavy machinery around the world. Doesn't matter what it is. Leading industrial tool experts giving you the very best in sales, service, rentals, calibration, and more. From tool rentals and repairs to custom fabrication of a bolting solution that you need, they do everything, and they are the best in the world at it. So if you're in heavy machinery, mining, nuclear, doesn't matter. If you need a torque wrench that they just don't make, these guys do. And they make it for you. Go to cantorque.com for more information today as well. Thanks to our friends at Emily and Riley, Muse on the Mic, MuseMassageSpa.com. Check them out today. Download their podcast. It's called Muse on the Mic. It's got a Patreon podcast as well. And it gets juicy. I'm not going to lie to you. These are two entrepreneurs, sex advocates, sexologists that own the premier body rub parlor in this beautiful country of ours, 1290 Finch Avenue West, Unit 13, Toronto, Ontario. MuseMassageSpa.com. Go there today and check them out. Or you can download their podcast as well and check them out at Patreon. Lovely ladies, advocates for the industry, advocates for sex workers, and their sexologists who want to educate and entertain with their podcast, Muse on the Mic. Check them out today. And of course, brought to you by Gitch, engineered for any level of performance, Canada's number one boxer brief with the pouch in the front, bigger for men because they're designed and made in Canada. And they're made for every level of performance. You can walk, run, or sprint through your day and barely their fabric. Super soft, keeping you cool with moisture-wicking action, luxurious modal. You'll never want to take them off. And they've got a bunch of colors, and you can get a free pair when you order three or more. If you go to edsfineimports.com, Gitch3 is your promo code. And if you give them your email address, another 15% off your entire purchase. Clothing for men and boys. They've got footwear, accessories, different brands, wedding packages, gift cards. And, of course, Gitch, Canada's number one luxury boxer brief. Check them out today. Have a great day, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll see you tomorrow with Colin from CanTorque. Thanks for paying attention to us today, and thanks for giving us your time. See you tomorrow. Bye.
I'm your eager beaver.
And I'm Mr. Grizzly.
If you love politics
or hate politics,
then have we the perfect podcast for you.
The True North Eager Beaver.
Incisive political commentary.
We keep you up to date
and give you the political and media literacy you seek
to help you
cut through the bovine fecal matter.
Facts first.
Sound analysis.
Sometimes I growl.
Sometimes I sass.
We impart civics and build community.
And we share some laughs along the way.
Being informed
and engaged has never been more fabulous.
Or sexy. Catch us on the Dean Blundell Network. Or on our YouTube channel.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because democracy is something you do.
I'm Andrea Askowitz.
And I'm Allison Langer. And we are the hosts of Writing Class Radio, a podcast. But we are so much more. We have writing classes. So if you are looking for live online classes where you can join a community, write to a prompt, get feedback, and get better, check out all our classes at writingclassradio.com and listen to our podcasts wherever you get your podcasts and at writingclassradio.com.